Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, you've tuned in to Smoke News Radio. This is episode 127. Your host, Jason Isaac of Brodsky. And here we go. From the beginning of the month, April, from the New York Times. Cannabis, better for sex? Here's what the science says. The research is thin, but anecdotal experience suggests that the right dose and delivery method can make a positive difference for some people. Written by Christina Caron, April 1st, 2022. A few weeks ago, the Ask Well column highlighted treatments for low libido in women. Afterwards, several readers wanted to know if cannabis could be added to the list of potential remedies. It's a question that is especially relevant now that the United States House of Representatives has passed a bill decriminalizing marijuana at the federal level. Marijuana, the most commonly used drug that is federally illegal, is currently allowed for medical use in 37 states and in 18 states for adult recreational use. According to a 2020 survey, nearly 18% of Americans aged 12 and older had used it within the past year, and more than two-thirds of Americans support legalizing it, according to various polls. To learn more about cannabis and sex, we turned to several experts, including a gynecologist who has surveyed women about their marijuana use. The bottom line, it's hard to say with certainty that cannabis will increase desire or improve your sex life, but anecdotal evidence suggests that the right dose of cannabis can make a woman's orgasm more satisfying and increase sex drive. This is in part because cannabis can enhance the senses and also alleviate some of the symptoms that inhibit desire, like anxiety, sleeplessness, or pain. It can have positive effects for men as well, but also several negative ones. And women should be aware of its potential downsides too. And the research say, both men and women have long reported that cannabis alters their sexual experience. In an essay published in 1971, the astronomer Carl Sagan, a longtime marijuana user, wrote that cannabis, quote, enhances the enjoyment of sex and gives an exquisite sensitivity. There is very little research on cannabis and libido. However, in part because cannabis research has been notoriously difficult to fund, and it remains a federally illegal drug in the United States. Most of the research that does exist relies on data from questionnaires, which are heavily skewed toward people who already use cannabis and are not representative of the general population, making it difficult to draw firm conclusions. In addition, the surveys do not provide reliable and precise information about dosage, delivery method, or timing. But based on the limited evidence, the drug does seem to enhance sexual experience among many women who already use it. Quote, I've had several patients come to me and say, I have low libido. Can you help me? And oh, by the way, if I use marijuana, I can orgasm. No problem, quotes Becky K. Lynn, a sexual medicine and menopause expert and the founder of Evora Women's Health in St. Louis. Quoted, they also tell me that low libido improves with marijuana. Dr. Lynn, who also teaches at the St. Louis University School of Medicine, is the lead author of a study published in 2019 that surveyed 373 women about cannabis and obstetricians and gynecology clinic in Missouri. Of those, 34% reported having used marijuana before sexual activity, and most of them said it resulted in an increased sex drive, improved orgasm, and decreased pain. Studies have also found that some women use cannabis to help manage menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, insomnia, vaginal changes such as dryness, all of which may contribute to lower libido when untreated. In addition, an online survey of more than 200 women and men who use cannabis found that nearly 60% said cannabis increased their desire for sex. Almost 74% reported increased sexual satisfaction. But the study, which was conducted by researchers in Canada and published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine, also said that 16% reported sex was better in some way and worse in others, and a little under 5% said it was worse. Research on cannabis use and sexual function among men is likewise sparse and can't be contradictory. According to the International Society for Sexual Medicine, some men report that their sexual performance improves when they use marijuana, while others may experience problems such as less motivation for sex, erectile dysfunction, trouble reaching orgasm, or premature ejaculation. Cannabis use has always been associated with reductions in sperm count, concentration, motility, and viability. quoted, "Start low and go slow. All drugs have risks and potential side effects, cannabis included. If your doctor has cleared you to try cannabis in a state where it is legal, Dr. Peter Grinspoon, a primary care at Massachusetts General Hospital Chelsea Healthcare Center and a medical cannabis consultant, advised taking a teeny bit in a tincture if you're new to it. In some cases, as little as 1 milligram of THC, the main psychoactive ingredient in weed, before slowly working your way up." Quoted, "At low doses, cannabis helps libido, but at high doses, it often isn't as effective." He adds that the wrong amount will lead some people to become paranoid and anxious. The drug could also inhibit orgasm, creating the opposite effect of what was intended. Dr. Lin agrees, low and slow. How much is too much marijuana? That will vary from person to person. And because cannabis is known to impair judgment, coordination, and reaction time, those who use psychoactive drugs before or during sex, quote, must take into consideration whether people using the product and their partners can have safe and consensual sex. Quotes, Dr. Stacy Tesler Lindau, gynecologist at the University of Chicago Medicine and creator of Woman Lab, a website about sexual health. Given that cannabis can compromise judgment about contraception or the ability to consent, she added, women can either look to avoid products with psychoactive components or, if they wish to use them, increase safety by having sex with a trusted partner. Quoting, sex with a stranger ideally would not involve any intoxication of anyone involved. Dr. Jordan Tischler, a former emergency medicine doctor and the president of the Association of Cannabinoid Specialists, recommended trying cannabis alone for the first few times and masturbating in order, quote, to understand what it does to the body and sensations. Smoking marijuana or using oil vape pens should be avoided because they can harm lungs, the expert said. Dr. Lin typically recommends tinctures, which are concentrated cannabis extracts that are taken by the mouth. It is easy to measure the number of milligrams you want to use. Dr. Tischler usually advises his clients to start with 5 milligrams of THC, taking one puff of a cannabis flower vaporizer before having a sexual experience can work faster and more predictably. predictably than edibles or lubricants infused with THC. Quoted, I teach patients to take a puff in a particular manner. A very deep, slow inhalation that allows us to estimate how much dose they are getting. There are multiple factors that can affect someone's sex drive and sexual function, some of which could be addressed by seeing a physician or a mental health provider. If a woman had a pain with intercourse, for example, she would need to be referred to a gynecologist for a full evaluation, Dr. Grinspoon said. Cannabis could potentially help, but there would be more to investigate and consider in anyone who was experiencing uncomfortable physical symptoms. Quotes, you can be treating the symptom while looking at the underlying cause. It's not mutually exclusive. All right. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Asguff-Brotsky. We got from the rnz.co.nz. Cannabis seedlings weeded out of Parliament grounds. Cannabis seedlings have been found grown in Parliament's Rose Gardens today, the groundskeeper confirming the RNZ that the plants had been raked up and destroyed, along with the rest of the green waste. A protester who had returned to the Parliament grounds today claimed the seeds had been sown during last month's 23-day occupation, alongside a range of produce such as tomatoes and fruit trees. Many of the cannabis seeds had been scattered throughout Parliament, they said, and many more will likely germinate for years to come. The groundskeeper agreed some seeds likely remained. Quoted, there are a few cannabis seedlings. A lot of seeds had been scattered around, amongst other things left from the protesters. A security guard had not been aware of the weed and mused it was probably the first cannabis that has ever been planted on Parliament grounds. The plants were discovered by a Wellingtonian who wished to remain anonymous, who had posted photos of them online thinking it was quite funny. He was eating lunch at Parliament when he spotted what he described as special plants growing in the Parliament Rose Garden along the marigolds and barisca. Quoted, I may or may not have inhaled back in uni, and so had a fairly good idea of what kind of plants were sprouting just meters away from the debating chamber. Quoted, it is a shame to see them weeded up, although the law is the law. Despite 48% of voters at the referendum thinking NZ needed a change regarding cannabis laws. When approached for comment on cannabis growing on Parliament grounds, Speaker Trevor Maillard replied, I've asked for the weed to be weeded. Meanwhile, a man who was seen looking for remaining seedlings amongst the dirt, hoping to take a couple home, and was disappointed by their swift removal. A few lingering protesters were unaware of the cannabis, but they confirmed they would be looking around to see what else they could find. For Smoke News Radio, your host, Jason Brodsky. Oh. All right, let's get this going. From I don't really get too many of these normal ones out here because they have their own ability to throw a radio station down. But from norml.org, the adult use marijuana legalization associated with reduction in Medicaid prescriptions. In Ithaca, New York, the enactment of adult-use marijuana legalization laws is associated with demand for certain prescription drugs, according to the data published in the journal Health Economics. A pair of researchers affiliated with Cornell University and the Indiana University assessed trends in Medicaid prescriptions in all 50 states during the years 2011 to 2019. They identified significant reductions in the volume of prescriptions within the drug classes that align with the medical indications for pain, depression, anxiety, sleep, psychosis, and seizures. In those states that had enacted legalization versus those that did not. The study's lead author quotes, "These results have important implications. The reductions in drug utilization that we find could lead to significant cost savings for state Medicaid programs. The results also indicate an opportunity to reduce the harm that can come with dangerous side effects associated with some prescription drugs. Prior ecological studies have similarly identified an association between the adoption of medical cannabis access laws and reduced Medicaid prescription drug spending." The authors quote, "Our results suggest substitution away from prescription drugs and potential cost savings for state Medicaid programs. This study adds to the growing body of literature surrounding the effects of recreational cannabis laws on pharmaceutical utilization." The full text of the study quoted, "Recreational cannabis legalization associated with prescription drug utilization among Medicaid enrollees," quote, appears in Health Economics. All right, Smoke News Radio. I mean, like, you choose your side effects. Just remember the placenta gets affected. Pregnant women should not smoke because it low birth weight. It inhibits the ability for the placenta do its things. CBDs. All right. Keep going. Episode 127 with like just four words about marijuana. Next, from cornell.edu, read to you by Jason Brodsky, written by Jim Hankett. Recreational marijuana access reduces demand for prescription drugs. Hey, I got that one. Euronews.com. Medical marijuana doesn't help anxiety and depression and doubles addiction risk, new study finds. People who use medical marijuana cards to treat pain, anxiety, or depression face a heightened risk of addiction while failing to improve their symptoms, a new study finds. Using medical marijuana to treat pain, anxiety, and depression failed to improve these symptoms while doubling the risk of developing cannabis use disorder, a new study found. This study by Massachusetts General Hospital in the United States, published in the journal JAMA, followed 269 adults from the Boston area with an average age of 37 who wanted to obtain medical marijuana cards. Because the researchers could not create placebo, cannabis participants were divided into two groups. One was allowed to get cards immediately and started using them. The other group waited for 12 weeks before obtaining them. And no improvement of pain, depression, or anxiety. This study found that obtaining a medical marijuana card and using cannabis products with the required medical oversight to treat pain, anxiety, or depressive symptoms did not significantly improve these problems. Instead, the obtention of medical marijuana card significantly increased people's risk of developing cannabis use disorder, which health authorities typically define as a person's inability to stop using marijuana, even though it's causing health and social problems in their life. The odds of developing this disorder were among 3 times higher in the group that immediately obtained a medical marijuana card than in the group that got one 12 weeks later. Those who got cards right away saw no significant changes in pain severity and anxiety or depressive symptoms, the study found. However, they did report improvement in insomnia and greater well-being, benefits the study said warranted further follow-up. Medical cannabis has surged in popularity in recent years, and a dozen countries, including the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia, along with 36 U.S. states and the District of Columbia, allow the sale of cannabis for medical use, making it accessible through a medical marijuana card for myriad health conditions. Cannabis has been reported to improve pain, sleep, as well as anxiety and depressive symptoms, and is commonly sought for these concerns. There needs to be better guidance to patients around a system that currently allows them to choose their own products, decide their own dosing, and often receive no professional follow-up care. However, its use has also been associated with psychotic and depressive disorders, mania, suicide, and cognitive impairment. Lead author Jody Gilman quotes, "We learned there can be negative consequences to using cannabis for medical purposes." Of the Center for Addiction Medicine said in a statement, particularly disturbing to her was the fact people with symptoms of anxiety or depression, the most common conditions for which medical cannabis is sought in the first place, were most vulnerable to developing an addiction disorder. The findings, the study said, suggest that, quote, a medical marijuana card may pose a high risk or may even be contraindicative for people with affective disorders. Quoted, our study underscores the need for better decision making and about whether to begin to use cannabis for specific medical complaints, particularly mood and anxiety disorders, which are associated with an increased risk of cannabis use disorder, quotes Gilman. Her team found that participants did not have evidence of problematic cannabis use at baseline, and yet some of them developed the disorder within the first 12 weeks of card ownership. The study, which was funded by the U.S. National Institute on Drug Abuse, argued that clinicians, patients, and authorities ought to carefully weigh the risks of cannabis use in a medical setting, especially for people with affective disorders that may make them especially vulnerable to addiction. Regulation and distribution of cannabis to people with medical marijuana cards must also be greatly improved across the United States, Gilman says. Finishing, there needs to be better guidance to patients around a system that currently allows them to choose their own products, decide their own dosing, and often receive no professional follow-up care. Your dealer is on the couch, you know, you tell your problems, guns, cash, they said, not some herb. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Floor score in 20 nuggets ago. We got from marijuanamoment.net that really creates such a huge amount of articles. I'm pretty sure they probably have their own announcer that reads their stuff. We have marijuana legalization tied to significant decrease in foster care placements. A new study finds legalizing marijuana for adult use is associated with at least a 10% decrease in foster care admissions on average, according to a new study, including reductions in placements due to physical abuse, neglect, parental incarceration, and misuse of alcohol and other drugs. Further, if cannabis was legalized nationally, it would result in hundreds of millions of dollars in estimated cost savings for foster care systems every year. Researchers at the University of Mississippi analyzed data from several sources using a difference in differences design to compare trends in foster care systems in states that have legalized cannabis with those in non-legal states. Authors quote, "Our most conservative estimates imply that legalization causes at least a 10% decrease in total admissions to foster care, with larger effects in years for further after legalization and for admissions into foster care due to specific child welfare concerns," the authors wrote. Quoted, "We estimate that legalization decreases foster care placements by at least 10%, with larger effects in years after legalization and for admissions for reasons of parental drug and alcohol abuse, physical abuse, neglect, and parental incarceration." The study, published in the journal Economic Inquiry, also looks at the potential economic impact of those average decreases based on earlier research that found a single foster care placement cost an average of $25,000. The new study determined that nationwide legalization would reduce the financial burden of foster care system by about $675 million annually. Using data from the Adoption and Foster Care Analysis Reporting System from 2000 to 2017 and other sources, the study found insignificant differences between states pre-legalization, but foster care placements gradually decreased in states that enacted the reform. The authors offered a few theories to explain the trend. Quoting, "Legalization may impact foster care admissions directly by changing the welfare of children, or indirectly by changing policies and attitudes towards marijuana use in the home. Direct effects may arise because marijuana use itself causes behaviors that affect child welfare, or because it changes the likelihood of using other drugs. Substitution towards marijuana from other substances can be an important part of how legalization affects admissions. For example, as past research has indicated, giving adults regulated access to cannabis seems to be associated with decreased alcohol use. Therefore, marijuana legalization could be resulting in less parental neglect or maltreatment related to alcohol abuse." The study quotes, "We also find that placements due to physical abuse, parental neglect, and parental incarceration decrease after legalization, providing evidence that legalization reduces substantive threats to child welfare, although the precise mechanism behind these effects is unclear," quotes the study. The authors caveat, however, that additional research is needed to understand whether the short to medium run effects that we estimate also operate in the long run. It's also the case that several states, like California, that have legalized marijuana also enacted specific policies to protect parental rights for adults or medical cannabis patients. All right. Listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Love is involved, too. You know, I smoke some weed and be like, whoa, look, a baby. Cool. Not as much, like, loud. Just like, whoa. We are all interesting. All right. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from the IdahoStatesman.com, read to you with extreme attention deficit hyperactive disorder. High on the job. Third of corporate workers admit using weed on the clock. Survey finds, written by Mariah Rush, April 20th. A new poll is revealing how many people celebrate the spirit of 420 in the workplace and while on the clock, according to a survey published on April 13th. Almost one in three workers at 35 of the top professional companies have used marijuana while working either in the office or from home. This study was conducted by Blind, a social network for professionals, and asked 2,514 U.S. professionals from 35 companies, most of which are in corporate, tech, or financial service industries, if they have used cannabis for medical or non-medical purposes while on the clock. 29% of the workers surveyed they had used cannabis while at work, this study showed. Quoted, I have spent most of my pandemic high, a software engineer at Wilfair said. I haven't noticed it affecting my performance that much. Most of my work on my plate was simple enough anyway. Half or more of the respondents at Robinhood and Splunk Investing and software companies respectively said they have recently used the drug during the workday. This survey also noted many employees in the financial services industry also consume marijuana while on the job, with between 33-45% of surveyed workers at companies like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase say they've used cannabis on the job in the past 3 months. Companies like Apple, Coinbase, ServiceNow reported the lowest number of on-the-clock weed users, all showing with under 20% admitting high workers. A Gallup poll from August 2021 found that nearly half of all American adults have tried cannabis at one point, which is the highest percentage recorded to date. 18 states have legalized recreational marijuana use as of April 20th, and all but 11 states have allowed medical marijuana use. All right, next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from crimereads.com, Switzerland's inching progress towards legalizing marijuana. Quotes, Polizei Bern, quotes, considering its innate conservatism, Switzerland's attitude towards drug use has been surprisingly pragmatic and humane. For a new book to take flame, a writer needs to take a bit of kindling. A story overheard at a party, a couple observed at a restaurant, an odd fact glimpsed in a newspaper, I think that sparked my organic Swiss interviewing or okay, in Switzerland, marijuana is still illegal, which isn't surprising when you understand how Swiss political decisions work. Unlike Sweden, with which Americans sometimes confuse it, Switzerland was never a hotbed of social democracy. It has been and remains deeply conservative, a country that didn't give women vote until 71. Yet Switzerland is also quirkily democratic. Since 74-18, any law the parliament passes can be attacked by national referendum and put to a public vote, as long as the law's opponents can gather 50,000 supporting signatures in 100 days. So far, since the 1st of January 2020, the Swiss have rejected 6 new laws, and more laws have been challenged. The outcome of one of these referenda to overturn government decision is very unpredictable. A law extending marriage and adoption rights to gays and lesbians was recently challenged by the right but upheld in a national vote, whereas a modest attempt to reduce Switzerland's carbon footprint was challenged and defeated. Considering its innate conservatism, Switzerland's attitude toward drug use over the past 50 years has been surprisingly pragmatic and humane. After a park in Zurich became Europe's biggest open drug scene, attracting thousands of heroin addicts and dealers between 87 and 92, everyone from the government to the police to the public knew that more had to be done to handle the sheer human misery that was playing out right before their eyes. By the middle of the 90s, most Swiss cities had adopted a strategy that not only prosecuted people who produced and distributed illegal drugs, but also discouraged people from using drugs before they started, gave regular drug users medical and psychological care, and tried to reintegrate addicts into society and minimize health risks to users. For example, by distributing clean needles and providing supervised places to shoot up. In 94, heroin addicts who tried rehab programs and failed began getting their fixes by doctor's prescription. This policy continues today. It has greatly reduced overdoses and diseases, including AIDS, and helps addicts live relatively normal lives. Marijuana policy in Switzerland has been influenced by this less punitive attitude towards hard drugs as a comparison with the U.S. shows, while 18 American states have legalized the recreational use of cannabis, and another 13 have decriminalized it, there are still 19 states that can jail you, even if you aren't a dealer. In Idaho, for example, possession of between 3 ounces and under a pound of cannabis is punishable with up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $10,000. In Switzerland, by contrast, a maximum of 10 grams of cannabis for personal use was decriminalized in 2012. In addition, it has become legal to sell cannabis products containing cannabidiol, CBD, which are marketed as anxiety-reducing, as long as they contain less than 1% tetrahydrocannabinol, THC. That's marijuana's psychoactive component. Medical marijuana can also be prescribed by doctors. Still, growing or dealing cannabis with a THC level of over 1% has remained a crime in Switzerland. A strong push towards legal change exists, but everyone knows that legalization will happen very, very slowly. In part, this is because legislatures don't feel like working to pass a controversial law if it isn't just going to be delayed 4 years by a referendum and then possibly rejected by the public. Recently, Switzerland's ambivalent attitude towards marijuana received an even more publicity when a study found that Switzerland's 8.5 million people smoke an average of 750,000 joints a day, and a member of the staff of the Federal Health Department said cannabis consumption in Switzerland is too widespread for banning its use to make sense anymore. So the Swiss government has decided to make a move towards legalization, or regularization as it's called, by changing drug laws in September 20 to permit the development of a series of marijuana-related pilot projections. If all works are planned, experts in at least 10 Swiss cities will experiment with the best way to distributing cannabis to existing users while making sure that local consumption, especially by under 18s, doesn't increase. The organizers of the different studies will be allowed to sell Swiss-grown organic marijuana with a THC content of up to 20% to a maximum of 5,000 registered participants. None of the projects are up and running yet. For a start, each study, no one yet knows how many will receive funding, has to be approved by the Federal Office of Public Health and then okayed at a hearing in the municipality where it will be carried out. no pilot project may be financed by the Switzerland federal government. Instead, they are to be backed by cities, cantons, industries, foundations, and universities. All of the study subjects will be men and women over 18 who already use marijuana regularly, but they won't get their study weed for free. Instead, they'll buy it in some form from some place at the same price they would pay from an illegal dealer, about $10 for 1 gram. There is hope that at least some of the studies will begin in the fall of 2022, because stopping illegal marijuana sales is becoming urgent. A new practice by black market dealers is damaging users' health because it's now legal to grow low THC, high CBD content cannabis, and because no one can tell the difference between the two types without testing them, Swiss dealers have started to sell their clients flowers and resin that looks right because they really are hemp, but contain no natural psychoactive content at all. This wouldn't be dangerous, just a ripoff, except that dealers spray the spake weed with synthetic cannabinoids that not only have a strong psychoactive impact, but may also result in very unpleasant side effects, sometimes limited to headaches, frightening hallucinations, but occasionally heart seizures or heart arrhythmia. Okay, so Switzerland needs to legalize recreational use as soon as possible. Very beautiful. Thank you guys for listening so much to Smoke News Radio, episode 127 with your host, Jason Brodsky. And we have some more news coming up from Jack Johnson in just a moment. And I appreciate everyone for listening. And it's good to be healthy out there and find a way to be in touch with the universe as organically as you can.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's side. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. On the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But Mama said, it's just make-believe. Can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby on the news tonight.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.